Christ today, Heavenly Father, it is a great joy to know Jesus, and we turn our hearts and our minds to knowing and loving Jesus. He is the Word, and Lord, we thank you for Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your gift to me and to the world of the forgiveness that you offer through Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the world is such a lovely place, and we all get to know that there's such wonderful and lovely parts to the world, and there are some really unpleasant and dark places in the world. And it's a part of looking at the goodness and the evil and knowing the difference and being so joyous that we get to have the goodness and the wonderfulness of Christ in this world, and we want to stay in the light of Jesus Christ and have the joy of knowing Jesus, and oh yes. So now we have light and we have dark around us, and we want to be called to the good things in life. We want to avoid the dark and the evil, and only go to the good, which is through God Jesus. Yes. It's a part of what we do to look at the contrasts and be so very glad that we get to be in the goodness of Jesus and the light of the world and not the darkness of the world. So when we see the struggles that go on, we can just know that there's a darkness in the world, and we are a part of the light with and through Jesus Christ. And that's a part of the contrast that we see, and we want to use this as an example of going towards the goodness of Jesus Christ. And that is one thing we do. We learn more and more as we go through a Bible and prayer, and even sometime we can read other writings or hear a sermon at church. There's something that directs us, guides us to the goodness of God and away from the dark things of the world. So that's a part of our choices as we go through life, to choose the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. Sometime it is a struggle, and sometime we get to understand the virtue of goodness and how we want to go through the stumbling blocks that are in front of us so that we can have the victory of being in the presence of Jesus Christ. This is a part of what we do as we live. And all people seem to go through it. It's a part of when we're a child, when we're young, or when we're an adult, when we're middle or older aged. we see the examples and we know that we want to live a life that is wonderful and suitable for God to bless. And we get to see this as blessings come into our life. We get to see it as we share the goodness of Jesus Christ, as we help our neighbor and love the people around us. That is a part of what we do. You know, we love them in a godly and appropriate way. And this is wonderful. Now, we do see people that are not doing what we consider to be a good job, and we get to talk to them about it, or if they're politicians, we might want to vote them out of office. That's another part of what we do with our discernment, and we're both talking to people and sometime having an action, even if it's moving further away from that person or the lifestyle that they are living. These are all things that we do that are an active part of our life, and they get to be a part of our witness and our testimony. So that's good. We want to reward people, at least with a good job or saying something that's positive, when they make decisions that are right and godly. Yes. There's also the things we just plain see with power around us. Oh, power in the political offices is amazing. And that's something that we want to have the righteous people in our political offices so that they practice good and godly practices. Now, that is just another thing that they do, we do, and we say, yes, Lord, guide me. Help me to speak the best way that I can and represent you, Lord, in the world. Because that's what we do as we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are saying good and godly things to people, loving our neighbor, loving God. Yes, that's what we do. And we have things that sometimes those people in the government, in our legislation, our legislators, they don't see it the way that we do sometime. So that's what we have to do is to speak up and say what we want. And perhaps we get it and perhaps we don't. But there are things that are going on right now. And we have to be aware of the influences that affect, for instance, our politicians. And this is a part of the manipulation that goes on when somebody says, "Oh, Mr. Politician, here's a $10,000 donation for you." Then they learn to answer to somebody who can get $10,000 to their reelection committee. It's just a part of it's unwholesomeness. That's what it is. And that's a part of what we deal with, too. In the world, we want to be righteous and support righteousness. And a part of what we do is with our words. So this is also what we do with the directions that we're going in. Now, when I was younger, I saw quite a bit of manipulation. I don't know that I could call it corruption. There was some corruption that I got to see later on. But as I was around business people, you could just see that there were influences going on that you didn't quite understand. It was subtle. But especially looking back, you could recognize the signs of, well, do you want to call it subtlety or do you want to call it corruption? It's a little difference between the two, but it is that direction. And that's something that we get sensitive to when we start understanding that there really is corruption around us. There really is unrighteous influence. And so that's a part of what we do and why we want to stand up for the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. We want our world to be good and righteous, even holy, yes. And so we have to be aware of that and try to support goodness and holiness and speak out when there is corruption that we recognize around us, whether it's with our neighbors or the politicians, And certainly we do not want to be a part of it. And that's a part of what we do as we go through life. Who knows how bad it will really get, or how bad it is in the world? I'm glad I don't know. All I know is the little things that I've seen, and they're not good. So I know that there's some really serious bad things that go on in the world, too. And all we can do is the best we can with standing for holiness. Like 2 Peter 1:16 says, is be ye holy, for I am holy. And that is a part of the practice that we get to have on earth for when we are in heaven with Jesus. Wonderful. So that's something we all get to work on, and we get to know it and follow the goodness instead of the evil of the world. That's just life. Now, there's things that go on. Oh, yeah, I think of, a few days ago in North Carolina, there was that planned and coordinated attack on several electrical substations. See, this is a part of the things that go on. It's a subtle form of evil. And what it can do is to change our society's lifestyle and what we do. This is a part of the destruction that is going on. And there was that in North Carolina a few days ago. And there was also an event in San Jose where the substation was attacked. So we have things that are going on, and we need to be aware of, for one thing, it is unholiness, it is doing evil, and it is also something that is violent that we have to be aware of that goes on around us. See, there are terrorists in the world that want to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes. Well, we might think of them as the Russians or the Iranians or some other national group. And they are really and truly terrorists, but there's other ones that we just don't see that are anarchists in our own country. And there are influences that are going around, with the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Marxist-Leninists, the cartel members. They are all people who want to have force work in their favor. So they use force. They use violence and destruction. Why? To get us. To really cause anarchy in the United States and in the world. And when things change, they can change a whole lot. And that is what their goal is. And our goal is to have the stability and freedom of all the wonderful things in life. That's what we want, and we need to stand for it. Now, a part of what they grow is the hatred. Those terrorists want anarchy where violence can occur, and therefore they can make the kind of changes they want in our society. So that's something we have to be aware of as we just stand up for the righteousness of God. It's something that preserves the goodness that we have in our life, in our world, in our system. But don't be surprised at the things that go on in front of us, whether they're the good kindness of people, and there's plenty of that, or whether there's the violence and destruction that many of these movements want to bring. Don't be surprised. And stand for the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of God. That's what we want to do. Hard to believe that people really want to see violence in our own lives. And that's what we have to be aware of and be careful of. It goes on out there, and we have to protect ourselves from it. Yes, we show love whenever we can, and that's what we want to do. But we also want to love with wisdom, godly wisdom. And that is also a part of what we do. We want to glorify our God. And that reminds me of that Christmas carol. Let's see. A glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill and peace, peace and goodwill toward men. See, this is something that is a universal desire of men, of the good kind of men, but there's the bad kind of men too, who want to see violence and destruction, and for them to get power by doing that. So we have this contest, and we want to stand for what is righteous, and we want to stand for the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. That's what we do. So the other part of that is for supporting people through our voting or through our words or saying good things about people who are godly, especially the ones in political office. There's still a few, but it's harder and harder to find them because we find they have compromised. We just want to stay away from the things of the devil where he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So John 10:10, that's where that is. But goodness, that's what we want to stand for. Avoid the theft and lies and the anarchy that's around us, and anything that the devil is involved with, we don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, we do have a little problem in this whole United States, and that is we are removing God from so many of the public places and from schools, and really thinking that God has nothing to do with what we want. And this is a part of the consequences that the United States is going to have. With God removed from schools, from courthouses, from government buildings, we can only guess what's going to happen. Well, we've seen it a little bit, just look in the last 10 or 20 or 30 years as we have taken steps to remove God. There has been violence and chaos and things getting out of order. And this we can expect to continue because we're not, as a society, we are not embracing God and putting in into our thoughts and our minds and our actions. So there's going to be consequences. What we can do is promote the idea of God as best we can and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a part of the gospel that we speak to people. That is not just for our pastor to say and do. It is for us to do. We are the body of Christ, and we need to speak up like that at the right time, using wisdom, to the politicians, to the neighbors around us, to whatever available there is available for us to speak to. That's what we do. And then we hope that the things don't happen that are really, really serious. We don't have to take a part in the evil of the world. In fact, we are called to separate ourselves from the evil of the world. It's not always easy, and sometimes we need a little practice to do it. So start your practice. Do that today. Recognize that you want to stand for the goodness of God through Jesus Christ, and not for the stealing, the killing, and the destruction that comes with Satan. So, remember that when we get together. Society and social occasions are important. And even right now, we have a Christmas holiday coming up, and we can have a goodness as we speak to people, to let people know about Jesus. There's something we can say, and it helps a little bit here and a little bit there. Now, sometime, it doesn't have to be a great big sermon that you give somebody. You could just tell them something about the love of Jesus Christ that he has for them. That's a good start. And then there can be a testimony of what has happened to you or to somebody else. That's what we do. We talk to people, and that's how life goes. We do want to care for that people, the people around us, which is that kind of loving, and I think of loving people as what's the best for them. You know what's best for them. Their eternal destiny being in heaven with God through Jesus Christ. That's much better than the destruction of hell. And so loving people is partly that, looking after what is good for them in eternity. That's a part of what we do. As we follow Jesus, we share the gospel and tell about the importance of what is going on in Jesus Christ. And maybe there's things about church events that you want to share. Those are all good things that we can do to our neighbors and the people around us. Use good judgment. Ask God to help you. Say a little prayer right before you talk to somebody. Lord, help me. That's as much as a prayer as you need. That's in my experience anyway. So every little prayer, I think, makes a difference so that we can move America towards a Christian nation again. And we can move the world toward a Christian world. And wouldn't it be much better if people had love for each other, caring and compassion? And that's a part of what the Christian experience brings to our neighbors and to the world. Now, there's a reality in the world, and of course we have that to deal with too. Oh, the reality of, inflation, for instance. The reality of debt. And these are real things, and Americans are getting more and more inflation and more debt. And so these days, that's what's going on with the businesses around us. They're having troubles because we are not used to inflation. We are not used to having such great debt and paying for the interest on our debt. All these things are factors in the real world that we live in. And so what we do when we learn the Bible, we realize that there's fundamentals and principles that we are to live by. And one of them is to owe no man. And that's a part of what Bible principles there are too. So we get better and better at living as we practice a godly and holy way of living. Now, sure, there's situations around us. Sometimes we can have an impact on them, and sometimes we surely cannot. But there are powers and things that are around us that we really don't have much that we can say about them. Oh, like the world. Oh, or the corporate heads of the things, or the politicians in high places. These are things that we can't really make a big impact on most of the time, but there's always the little words that we can say to people to help them to understand the importance of God through Jesus Christ in the world and how we want to follow the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do it a little bit at a time when we can, and occasionally there is something big and we get to speak into it in a good and godly way. That's going on. It is going on right now. You look at the people around us and you can see that there's wonderful, kind, loving, godly people around us. And there's some that are not at all. And that's a part of the world we live in. We have to deal with realities, like I just said, in inflation and debt or poverty or the dissatisfaction of people around us. And some of that leads to things like violence and theft and robbery. So that's the other part. We're in the world, but not of it. In the world means that it can get us sometime, and we have to be watchful. Stay aware of the situation around us. We have schools that are teaching Darwinism. And a part of Darwinism is the survival of the fittest. And the people who learn that Darwinism is good, they also learn survival of the fittest is good. And so if they are strong and able to do things, they can survive by taking what you have. That's a part of the dark side of Darwinism, is the strong survive and the weak perish. And while it's not taught like that, it is a part of the reality of the philosophy that goes on with teaching Darwinism. And we're teaching it in the schools. Oh, parents have an impact on all that, but it's an impact. And that's something which we get to deal with because we're in the world. That is us. That is us. And we have some influence over the younger people, certainly our children and our grandchildren, but it's still not the same as a few hours or a few minutes or a few weekends. It's not the same as what the schools can teach day after day, year after year. And so we do get to make an impact, but it is different from that normal day after day, year after year impact that they learn in schools. So what are our schools teaching? Pretty important, but it's still something that we have to work with or work against or add to or something like that, because we want the goodness of God to be in our children, our grandchildren, all of the people that we are going to be around, and that means the young people. Let's do what we can to tell them our experience, our testimony of how God is great and the Bible is true and there really is a God, yeah, and this is what he's done for me. It's just been amazing and wonderful. I'm so glad to be a Christ follower. That's the kind of things that we can tell the young people at the right opportunity and the right time and setting. So keep that in your mind, and I've just got to thinking about how much evil there is sometimes with the school and the young people, and I was just thinking of how elder people are attacked, and there's that game, the knockout thing, where they knock people out. The young people do, and it's a part of a game. It goes on in the big cities and the gangland, and that's something which we really want righteousness to go on and not those kind of games. So that's something that we can speak to when the opportunity comes up. It's this time of year we have things that we can speak to people about. About Christ, about Christmas time, about what it means. We can bring stories into it if we want, for instance, of the wise men or of Jesus at the temple when he was a boy. There's many different stories in the Bible that make it interesting that we can tell the young people. They like to hear them, and that's a part of what we could do. And in the meanwhile, we stay aware and we stay alert, because there are things going on around us. I just mentioned North Carolina and the attack on the electrical substations there. Obviously, it was planned. Obviously, it was coordinated. And one day, we'll learn the real truth about what happened and why. But for now, we don't know. We just have to deal with the situation of being without electricity for how long, we don't know. It might be a few days, it might be a few weeks, and to get the replacement parts, that's a pretty big thing, because we don't make the parts for the substations anymore in this country. We have to order them from overseas, and it's something which we get consequences for the decisions we make. We have things going on, wonderful things and terrible things, both. That's a part of what we are faced with. Our electrical grid has been a subject of discussion for years now, since I guess it's been over 20 years now. Yes, it has. No, it hasn't. The first report I remember reading was 2010, the report to Congress by Peter Pry. And so we do have things with our electrical grid, and it has been a concern for, sure, a couple of decades, but like I said, the first time I remember reading the report was 2010, 11 or something like that. But we have had attacks on our power system, electrical system, and we don't know who is doing it. We don't know if they are terrorists or anarchists or people who want to have a false flag. I mean, we have been surprised what our government has been involved with. Oh, my, I don't think I'll start on that one. It's just a sad, sad examination. It's not that I mean that they are involved in this. It's just that there have been surprises for what has gone on. And so we get to be concerned about what is happening, yes, with our power grid, yes, with our way of life, with our supply chain, and there are things we can do to protect ourselves from the difficulties that could happen because of it. But we do know that we have a God who looks after us. And I would not say God is on our side. I would say let us be on God's side and then let him direct things as we pray and ask him for grace and mercy. So all these things are in fact going on, and we need to be aware and watchful that we don't let the evil grow. In fact, we want to have the love grow, and that means learn God's word, the whole word, the whole Bible, and that's what we do. I think of 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in unrighteousness. So that's a part of why also we want to know the Bible, so that we can use it as examples or even quote scripture. All that is good. Tell the Bible stories. It's good. And that's why we want to read the entire Bible, to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study and show thyself approved unto God. Of course, read the scripture yourself, because it always has more fullness than the little quotes you're going to hear from me or somebody else. It's an amazing, wonderful book of scripture that God breathed. It's wonderful. So look at it yourself, use it for examples, read it, and know what you can. And have the goodness of God in your brains and have them come out of your mouth. It's wonderful. Well, we do struggle with the things in life. And reading the Bible can help us to have what we need to deal with it, whether it's patience or kindness or a godly orientation. This is all things we can do, we want to do, to have the goodness of God in us. So do keep that in mind. As we go through life, as we get to talk to people and experience the world around us, it's better to have the world with God than without God, that's for sure. When you look at the number of people who are really not kind, you know that it is better to have kind people around you with goodness and love than it is people who have violence in their heart and deceit in their thoughts. So just remember that as you're going on through life. We want to spread the goodness of God all around us. And if we have the Bible words in our brains, then we can sometimes say them, and that's a good thing. And we get indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then we get to remember things. All good, all wonderful. And well, as I look back, I think about learning the Bible patterns, and that's something we also get to do when we read the Bible. We get familiar with biblical patterns, and we both get to see it in life, and we get to tell people about it when it is a good idea to do. So, again, read it, learn it, be able to speak things that are about the Bible to people. And sometimes it's just fun for children to learn the Bible stories. And we get that relation with the young people around us, that we get to have interaction with them, and it's a good and fun thing. We do get to learn the lessons in the Bible, too. And we get to learn the lessons in life, and do learn them, because if we don't learn them the first time, they often come back, and we get to learn them the second or third or fourth time. It's better to learn them the very first time so that you don't have to have difficulty in life. And that's just the way it is. Like in the beginning of today's broadcast, I was thinking of the joyous thoughts of Jesus, the wonderful love of God that he has for us. And this is a part of also what we get to tell people at this time of year. It's easy to talk about Christmas things and to bring it up in a way that makes sense to people. Now, a part of what we do is we think about it, and we are available to the Holy Spirit to move inside of us, yes, and we're also thinking about how we can serve God, and this is a part of the thought process, how we connect with the people around us. It's thoughtful. It's thinking. And it's in our heart with the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. We figure out how to interact with people, how to say something, and that's good. Now, a part of what we are is we belong to God. So we are in this world, but not of the world, like Romans 12:2 talks about. And that's a part of what we yield ourselves is to the part of God that is inside us. And we say, yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. And it's prayerfulness that we do. We talk to God, and he talks to us. So start being ready to listen to the words of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our minds, and do things that are the goodness of God. I know I was thinking earlier in the broadcast about the contrast between good and evil, because we know there's lots of bad things going on around us with thievery and all sorts of stealing and lies. I mean, that just goes on. But like I said, it's not a part of our world. Well, it is a part of the world, but we're not of the world. And so we still have to figure out how things are going to work together as we interact with people. Do remember that the preparations are good that we could have. I said about that North Carolina event with electricity. What if our electricity was cut off for weeks or months? Would we be able to share the love of God then? Oh, sure we can. And if we have a few supplies, a bit of food, then that's something else we can do. We can share the goodness of God with the compassion and consideration that we have for the needs of other people. It might be food, it might be clothes, it might be something else, but share goodness in a good and godly way. Christians do that. We look around in the world and we see how much goodness and kindness that Christians have given to other people in the world, sometimes as missionaries, and sometimes just with the help that they need to get through a difficulty. So we still can practice that in our own country with people who need help. And of course, I said, do it in a godly way so that they are learning the godly lessons, and that's also what we do. We do things in a way that is holy and godly, because we belong to God, and that's how we do things. So do try to understand and take the steps that you can take to be around people that are good and kind and godly, and the ones who aren't, but do it with wisdom. Be careful in this world. You don't want bad things to happen. You want good things to happen. So use your godly wisdom as you interact with people. And that's a part also of what we do. I know we all have concerns. We all have concerns and things we want. Oh, now it can be just plain things that we need for everyday living. Oh, yes, like water, like food, or like gasoline, or clothes and warmth. And this is, again, things that we can do to share with the people around us. There are essentials that we need for life. And always do remember that one of the essentials of life that we need in difficult times is people. We need to be a community and have people that we interact with. Now, there are all sorts of ways to do this, whether it's people in your church or people in your neighborhood or people who have another interest, a special interest like you do. It's always something that we can do to form a sense of community. Always different. Always different what we do, what we want, what we interact with, how we're able to help people. But as we think and have the feelings in our heart, we get to see a way to be guided by our thoughts and the Holy Spirit and do the good things that people are going to really appreciate. And that is a reflection of the goodness of God. That's what we do. We do it sometimes on a fundamental level with the basic needs of life, and sometimes it's quite different. We all get to figure out exactly how and what we do. So also remember, we are all just plain, simple human beings. Now, we are pretty tough, and if we do have hard times, we're going to live through it. Don't think we're going to die. We're going to live through it because human beings are tough, and we've always had an attitude of we can do it, especially as Americans, we can do it. So keep that in mind for getting through any hard times and do a good, compassionate things as you're going through those hard times. People really appreciate the help, and they remember if you were good to them or not good to them. And that's just how people do things. And it speaks well for your Christian faith if we take care of people. And like Matthew 10:16 says, is, be ye wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And that's what we do when we go through life. Be wise and be harmless. Show people the love of Christ. That is all a part of what we want to do. Let people know what the gospel is. Encourage them to read the Bible. And we want so much to be a part of the good in the world and not the trouble. Oh, there's so much trouble. I know a missionary couple, and they got this letter. I'm going to just go over it with you really quick. A letter from a Christian man in South Africa, the Republic of South Africa. And he was saying that the law and order in the Republic of South Africa has completely broken down. That people are expecting hard times. Oh, and let me say this too, that a lot of people here in this country are expecting hard times. Some people are expecting a collapse. And I know very well that we could have a collapse of our money system or our government or our society, or even people and friendships can collapse. So with the hard times that appear to be on their way coming to the United States, we still want to have good, kind, loving thoughts and actions towards other people so that we are able to survive the hard times that probably are going to come to the United States people and society. So this letter from the man in South Africa is a reminder that we do not want things to collapse. We want things to turn out well and good for people because here's what he's going through. Okay. He started off the letter by saying, in his country, there was no longer law and order. He has to live in a compound where they're surrounded by a fence and they have an armed guard at the gate 24 hours a day. And another thing, 24 hours a day, is he wears his gun. He wears a gun right with him 24/7. And if he ever goes out of the compound with his car, if he parks someplace, he then gets out of his car with the gun in his hand, ready for any trouble that might be coming his way. He gets a little bit of relaxation when he goes into his fenced compound with the other, dozen or 15 homes around in that fenced compound. I don't know what else to call it. I don't know what he called it. But there are a group of people who have a home in that area, and they're all fenced in, and they have an armed security guard 24/7. He says that the last two security guards that they hired in the last 3.5 months had been shot dead and their weapons taken. So that's the kind of atmosphere he lives in, where he's armed 24/7. He has his gun right at his side. He says people are shot in their homes or in their cars regularly. And people have dogs, not in their yard. They have them right inside their homes. If you have a big dog outside, it's going to be shot dead. There is no security with a dog outside. If you want the security with dogs, then you have them inside. This man says he has 4 big dogs that sleep at his front door. And he has 2 big dogs that sleep with him in his bedroom. He says the situation there is, in the last 3 months of June, July, August of 2022, there were 78 murders in South Africa per day. 78 murders per day. And in that same 3-month period, there were 10,000 rape cases reported. And the actual number is estimated to be much higher. So that's how things can be when we live with anarchy. Do we really want to be armed 24/7? And have a gun in our hand when we step outside of our car to make sure nobody carjacks and steals our car? No, we want to preserve law and order. And this is an example in the Republic of South Africa for how serious it gets when you have anarchy in the nation. Really, really unpleasant, to say the least. When you have people dying around you like that, I think of those 2 security guards in 3.5 months shot dead and their weapons taken. Nope, we don't want to have that anarchy and violence, and so we want to have the goodness of God all around us. What does that mean? It means we have to take steps and be, as it were, missionaries preaching the good news of the gospel and have the kindness of people around us. That's the love of God through Jesus Christ in the hearts and minds of people. And that is what we want to preserve and protect in our country, and not have that anarchy that is existing in other parts of the world. Now, this was a true experience of the man who lives in South Africa, the Republic of South Africa. It used to be a wonderful, thriving place. And yes, it had a two-class system, and that was not right. But neither is it right the way they live today, with a violence and anarchy all around them. So we can look at the foundations of our country, because our country was founded on God through Jesus Christ, and there's plenty of people who can see the monuments that have been made. Our schools were mostly Christian for the purpose of Christianity, so that people could learn to write and read the gospel. That's a part of our American heritage. But we seem to be discarding that and doing something different. We want to remember that our country was founded with and upon a godly people. We want God to bless our country, and we want to bless God. A part of the blessing we can do of God is to support the Christian causes. Sure, it starts at our local church, but it goes beyond that to the missionaries that go around the world and share the love of Jesus Christ and the hope of eternal salvation. That is just what they do. That's what goes on, and we want that in our hearts and in our minds. We want to promote that as best we know how as we interact with people. Again, certainly this time of year, the Christmas time of year, people are thinking about Jesus, and it is a good time for us to speak about Jesus also. Tell people about the gospel. There's a message in the gospel, and there is a testimony that each one of us has about how God has worked in us and through us, in our hearts, in our minds. And that's what we want, God in us. There's a really popular author, Christian author of Christian books, Bodhi Thoni. And, she just had a text, and I read it. It was quoted out of The Princess Bride, and it said that we all know people who are, they have the hormones in them that are addicted to revenge and hate. And we can say, how is that anybody could be addicted to revenge and hate? Well, when we have hate inside of us, it triggers endorphins, and those endorphins are what make a person feel good. So when we feel that violence and hate, it can have a trigger of our endorphins, and that is how we become addicted to violence and hate and conflict. So it's something that we want to be aware of and make sure that that does not get into our life, so that we don't get triggered by hate and conflict. We can have a variety of where the conflict comes from. It can happen in a social setting or a political setting or a personal setting. All these things can trigger that anger and hate and conflict within us. And the point here is, don't become addicted to, call it revenge, call it hate, when those endorphins are alive in your body. So that is something, again, to watch out for, so that we don't become hateful or violent or anything else. We want our hearts, our heads, and our soul to be filled with the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. This is the love of Jesus that we want inside of us, to indwell us. And by the way, that is why the devil, Satan, wants us to stay angry and stay hateful, is that so we don't have a chance to seek out the peace of God through Jesus Christ. And that's something we might need to be watchful, that we do not become angry like that and have those endorphins triggered within us. So hold on to the love and peace that Jesus Christ brings each and every one of us. Oh, yes. Read the Bible. It's a good thing to bring calmness and peace to us and love. It's the love of Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to have in us at all times. And it's a warning that we don't want to become, let's say, angry and hateful and revengeful. And the situation in some countries, that's what it's like. I just read that part talked about how South Africa, the Republic of South Africa, has so much violence in it. And this is the playground of the devil. So please, keep loving your heart and God's lovingness in your mind so that you're able to interact with people with God's love, not ours, because we don't do it so good. But God does it perfectly. So we want to have Christ within us. And that is the hope of glory. All right. Now remember the Spirit of God in us and among us. And, if the Spirit moves you and you would like to make a donation towards this broadcast of Christ Today, it would certainly be appreciated. And you could send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I certainly wish everybody a wonderful time of the year. It's this season of when we celebrate Christmas times and Jesus Christ. And remember how important prayers are. I have certainly learned that, and I certainly pray so much more now than I ever used to. I pray for you who listen to the broadcast. I pray for you who need prayer. And I pray for our nation, and I do this in Jesus' name, and amen. So again, God bless you, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live my life inside your you.